Blog Talk Radio.
Swing and a miss!
One more time to fight it!
Watch it fly!
Do it again!
Watch off home run!
Good morning and welcome to the Bless You Boys podcast for January the 10th, 2015. I'm your host, Hook Slide, and if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome aboard. We've got some fun stuff planned today. The Bless You Boys podcast is a feature of the Bless You Boys website. You can find us online at www.blessyouboys.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Bless You Boys and on Facebook. Just search for Bless You Boys. So just a reminder that next week on the show, I'll be having Dan Dickerson joining me, whose voice you just heard on the music intro. He's the voice of the Tigers on radio. Definitely want to mark your calendars for that. You do not want to miss that episode. As I've mentioned before, Dan Dickerson's voice has the power to actually kill winter demons. So we're going to hope to beat back the forces of winter with next week's show. This week, however, there are going to be hijinks and tomfoolery ahead. Joining me today in the virtual studio, we have Jake Mintz and Jordan Schusterman, the guys behind the immensely popular website and Twitter account known as Cespedes Family Barbecue. You can find them online at cespedesfamilybarbecue.com and on Twitter at cespedesbbq. Jake, Jordan, welcome to the show.
How's it going? I'm Jake, just to clarify.
Yeah, we are both here. I'm Jordan.
Actually, we're just one guy who can do a lot of different, very subtle voices.
So right off the bat, we're going to deal with multiple personality. Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Yes, and I apologize to you and to our listeners. We had a little bit of technical difficulty this morning. I meant to start the show about a half hour earlier, but I still don't know how to use Blog Talk Radio's studio controls. So we're getting there. Learning curve out of the way. But, boys, let's
don't
talk
about
the internet.
My nickname in high school was technical difficulty, so I'm used to it.
Isn't there a player in the Tigers farm system called Technical Difficulty?
It's technical.
Oh, okay.
Technical Difficulty.
Right out of the Dominican Republic, Technicale Difficile. Oh boy, this is going to be a crazy show. I can see this already. Let's talk about the internet phenomena that is the Cespedes Family Barbecue. And I'll start with you, Jake. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the backstory? What made you guys want to build an internet presence, number one? But number two, why specifically around Ioannis Cespedes?
So I think it all started from our own teenage boredom. So it was the kind of the middle of our senior year of high school. And Jordan and I were having a lot of conversations about baseball, texting, on the phone, in person. We were joking around, and one day we were like, you know, this stuff's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Maybe we should, you know, write some of this down. So we were big fans of the Up and In podcast, and that kind of was a big inspiration for us. December 2012, we set up a blog, and we were kind of talking about names, and we were like, that Cespedes video where he roasts the pigs, pretty cool. And Jordan, I think I came up with the idea, and then Jordan came up with the name.
Right.
And then from there, we were like, oh, this is good, but it doesn't matter that it's so long and confusing because no one's ever going to care about it.
Right.
And then people did.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we came up with the name Cespedes Family Barbecue, it was like, oh, like, that's a cool blog name. Like, great. But, like, it didn't matter at the time. When we started writing stuff, it was just for us. It was just so we could look back and be like, ah, yes, we are so funny.
Right.
Just entirely for us. And then once we got on Twitter, probably close to the beginning of 2013, met some of the right people, a couple people gave us a good shout out, and we've just been, I mean, we haven't really changed at all. We've just been doing the same thing and putting tweets out, and people have liked our stuff. It's been a lot of fun.
So just so the listeners that don't know the reference there, we're talking about a video that Yoannis Cespedes put out. What was that? Was a showcase video?
Yes. Right. So when he came over from Cuba in, I guess, 2011, when a lot of Latin prospects come over, you'll see either their agent or whatever, you know, academy that will put out like a 2 to 3 minute video, just like, all right, batting practice, see them in the field, fine. Not for Yoannis, because, you know, he's special.
He needed 20 minutes.
He needed 28 and a half minutes of, it's not even a lot of baseball.
He takes maybe 20 swings.
Right. It's not.
Throws the ball thrice.
Right. You don't see a lot of actual baseball, but you see a lot of very impressive workouts. You see a lot of shirtless running, shirtless, sweaty running.
A lot of really hard, but also really terrible rap music.
Yeah.
A lot of talking about phallic regions
you have,
and female desires for them.
You also have like a lot of like Windows Movie Maker-esque edits.
Oh, it's like, it's painfully iMovie.
Right.
It's like your uncle, like his family went on a trip and decided to splice together a quick video.
Right.
But like didn't have the time or skills to really do it well.
Right. But the point is, at the very end of this astounding piece of art,
he dances with his family.
He does. So you.
Well, no, it's not him, actually. It's like some random family member doing this awesome three-person dance.
Yeah, you start seeing his family. This is minute 26,
right. And 27. Then he thanks former Packers running back Amon Green.
Yes.
Gets a shout-out.
He does do that, too. Again, you have to see it. This is on YouTube.
Ryan Grant.
We're not
uncalled for.
We're not making this up. We're not doing it justice. But the point is, at the very end, you see Yoannis with his family. And some inside info, as we later found out, also at this barbecue, so you see Yoannis in front of a giant pig on a spit.
Like, huge, and it's bleeding out.
It's just huge, and he just looks so happy. And in the back is another Cuban, Henry Urrutia, for the Orioles, who we later confirmed was also at the barbecue. Just a little inside info.
Urrutia for the home team.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
We can't hit them all, guys.
Quality over quantity.
No,
that's wrong.
But yeah, he's roasting a giant pig, and it's just such a jarring image, because like there's like Yoannis Cespedes, and this is obviously before he had even signed with the team. But it was pretty cool. We're like, oh, that's great. That's hilarious. So of course it does take a little bit of explaining. But we're proud of it, and we're happy to honor his family's most sacred ritual.
It's the most sacred ritual. Yes. It's amazing to me that hasn't become more of a thing then. So like, you know, why aren't there videos out there of, say, Miguel Cabrera preparing duck a l'orange, you know, this sort of thing. Maybe Al Albuquerque, you know, sitting down and doing a nice souffle.
Oh, that would be, if Al Albuquerque does that, we will change our name.
Jova loves a nice chicken pot pie.
Yeah, there's still a lot of possibilities. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of worked out. It was nice.
Okay. I've been a long-time reader of the site myself and followed you guys on Twitter for quite a while now. And the one thing that kind of stands out about the site is that, I mean, you don't limit your content to necessarily just Yoannis Cespedes, or not even to a particular, one team or two teams or anything like that. The site is kind of what I would describe as like a dragnet, you know, for anything that is weird and wild all around MLB. What kind of other things are you guys covering there?
Well, I think when we started out trying to give legitimate analysis of stuff. And it's really hard for anybody who was like us to kind of gain traction that way. And that's because who wants to read what two Jamooks in high school have to say about the Adam LaRoche to the National signing?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that you can go so many other places to get that analysis. So we kind of found this niche where we kind of could be irreverent and funny and kind of quirky and weird. And from that, we've kind of gained a deeper knowledge of the game. So now that we feel comfortable giving that sort of more nuanced analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that another smart thing that we did was not limiting ourselves to one team. Mm-hmm. Limiting yourself to one team is, in a way, it's easier to kind of build up a base, right? But the thing was, Jordan and I aren't fans of the same team, and we wanted to have discussions about baseball.
Right.
And that kind of restricted focusing in on one team.
Also, the thing was, it's not even that we doubted like our ability to understand the game and to analyze it, but that us offering, trying to offer good analysis, like we already read so many things that we know is better than us. So we might as well take the knowledge and apply it in a different way and make it fun and make it entertaining, because, I mean, we think baseball's fun and we want to make it fun for everybody. There's no reason to just limit it to – I mean, the other thing is, like, obviously Jonas was with Oakland for 2.5-3 years, and we're not Oakland
right.
fans, but it was really cool, like, you know, all, getting a bunch of Oakland fans following us, and then this brief time in Boston, you get a bunch of Boston fans following us, and now with Detroit, obviously.
It's good for business.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good for us, and it's fun to – there's no reason to just block ourselves off and say – like for example, like, I'm a Mariners fan. Jake's an Orioles fan. That just happens to be what family are, but there's no reason.
Right.
I mean, more importantly, it's not like we – I mean, you might see us tweet a little bit more about the Mariners and Orioles, but mostly
right. –
there's no reason to limit it. I mean,
every fan base is the same except for the Phillies. So.
Yeah.
there's
no reason to really limit it. We like to kind of hit on everybody.
Right, which is why you now have, like, say, a hard-hitting analysis of Mikhail Gorbachev throwing out a first pitch at some Texas high school game with George Bush.
Right, like, I don't know why we would ever find that. By the way, that's the greatest picture on the internet, because – there, okay. If you haven't seen it, just Google Mikhail Gorbachev baseball and you'll find it.
But there aren't very many.
There
other
are
pictures.
Not many other options. But there are a couple amazing things. It's a high school baseball game, the high school game in Texas.
Right.
George Bush is looking at him suspiciously, which is very representative of their relationship. He's wearing this Canadian tuxedo seeped in dad lap. Like, it's full denim.
Yeah.
Just. Pretty amazing, and his form's not terrible,
but there's no
ceiling there.
Yeah, you're not a lot of projection on the Gorby arm.
Going to disagree, I guess. I mean, based on the one photo that I saw, if you're just joining us on the show, this is we're talking with Jake and Jordan from the Cespedes Family Barbecue here on the Bless You Boys podcast. At last count, you guys had, I think, over 22,000 followers on Twitter. When did the viral breakout happen, and do you know what caused it?
Well, I think the viral breakout was we had too much chocolate. We weren't washing our face enough. It got pretty,
boy, left
pretty
that one. I walked right into that.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Online proactive, please.
I think for us, like, honestly, the interesting thing is since Twitter came out with, like, analytics, like, you can look back and see – how your followers have grown. It's actually been really steady. There wasn't really any one moment.
Right.
I think the one moment we can really point to was when we did our first road trip in 2013, Jason Parks, who's now with the Cubs, and Baseball Prospectus. We met him at a Baseball Prospectus event at Nationals Park.
At that point, we were like 90 followers.
No, we had like 90 followers, and we had for a couple months at that point. We met him, and he, you know, he had like 17,000 at that point, and he tweeted, you know, after we met him, he's like, these guys are funny, just give him a follow. And that got us to like 600. And at that point, we're like, this is the craziest thing of our lives. Oh, wow, 700 people. and then from then, it was just like,
right.
we get
bumps during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whenever Yoenis Cespedes gets traded, we get a bump.
Right. Whenever he wins the Home Run Derby, which is also often. He's
right.
been traded and won Homer Derby's multiple times. But yeah, I mean, it's really just, and then, you know, sometimes we'll write something that, you know, gets a lot of attention, maybe gets posted on, you know, Hardball Talker, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, it's just those kind of things, but it hasn't really been like one thing. It's really been a steady growth, which I mean, we're pretty proud of, honestly, because it's cool that we've been able to keep it up for the last, you know, year and a half or so.
Sure. No, I think at the moment you guys have more followers than the entire Bless You Boys team account. So, you know, we'll talk later about tips and tricks or how to get our own follower base boosted. I understand it has a lot to do with pictures of Bartolo Colon taking batting practice, though. So
that helps.
It helps. Also grabbing his stomach fat and jiggling it.
Right.
Forgot about that. Yeah, thank you for bringing that image back into the forefront of my
Always
mind now.
Important.
That's Yeah, so that's I'm off food for the day after that. Awesome. Let's talk about backyard baseball. It's something you guys have talked about on the site a couple of times. And by talked about, I mean you actually did like an in-depth profile analysis of all of the various characters on backyard baseball. This was intriguing to me because backyard baseball was originally on which gaming platform?
PC. It was PC/Mac, I think.
I'm not sure. But it was very early. The first Backyard Baseball game came out in 1997.
And there were no pros on that.
Yeah. So for those of you, you have to understand why we're so attached to it.
Because it was right in the sweet spot.
This is really the sweet spot for us. So we're currently only 19 now. But when the first one came out, you know, I played the first one, but it was really Backyard Baseball 2001. That's the one that I based all my rankings on.
Yeah.
That's when they introduced a pro player from every team.
And the two games that are good, it's 01 and 03, are basically the same.
Yeah, they're basically the same game. And they've been trying to, you know, reinvent it ever since. But it's just, there's something about the 2001 and 2003 game that's just so pure as a baseball game. And you can't, just such a great idea. That it's just so funny, but it's also so great. And in 2001, it's just such a time of like crazy stars, and it's interesting how they, you know, how they rate certain players.
Right, like Jose Canseco is a devil ray.
Right, like like you see it, and the teams that they're on, and like the fact that like they're like, oh well, we need a twin, might as well put Marty Cordova in the game.
Right, like they needed a player from each team.
Right.
But they like randomly, arbitrarily decided that it was okay to have Barry Larkin and Ken Griffey.
Right. They gave the Reds too. I mean, there's just so many little things. And then you go through all the made up characters that are just so, they're so unique and
right.
So funny.
Right. And it's
funny.
Such an ethnically diverse neighborhood, which
right.
you've noticed.
Right. You have no clue.
Of the 30 kids, you have 17 are minorities. 2 are obviously second generation immigrants.
Right. You have
Dimitri's. Illegal alien.
It's an amazing population of kids. And then the other, and there's just the thousands of questions that come along with it. How old are they? Why are they only playing baseball? How are these kids, like, what do their parents do to be able to afford these brilliant backyards? I mean, it's enormous. Like, you just, there's so many questions that go along with it. And there's just these stories that go along with each character that you remember. And that it's like, everyone has really strong opinions about Kenny Kawaguchi because, you know, he's in a wheelchair.
Well, he's also crazy overrated. Yeah. People just,
right.
Like, he's good. He's in a wheelchair. Yeah.
There's just a lot of, there's just so many aspects of the game and of the players that are just, it's just so fun to look at even now. And it's great. And we really never get tired of talking about it or just playing it. If you're lucky enough
playing.
To still have it on your computer.
Why is Tony Gwynn that
right,
bad?
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, it's just so much, and if you have the opportunity to, if you find it in your local thrift store, please go give it a try.
Oh, it looks like a ton of fun. And you talk about video games and the, you know, kind of the formative experience growing up and how those things just kind of stick with you. I'd say in terms of age difference between me and you guys, there's probably a decade and a half. So I missed Backyard Baseball, but I played a ton of Hardball. And I think the greatest iteration of that game was the version where they had Al Michaels calling the games. I don't even know if you guys remember Al Michaels, you know, being kind of the, you know, national broadcaster. But to this to this day, I cannot watch a pitching change take place on a live game without hearing Al in the back of my head going, "There's going to be a pitching change," and for some reason the game would glitch, and he would say it twice. Every time a pitching change happened, he would say, to this day, they'll be like, you know, bring in Al Albuquerque, and I'll think in my head, there's going to be a pitching change. Click. There's going to be a pitching change. It's those things just, they stick with
Multiple pitching changes.
Yes, that's right. Brought him in and then took him right back out again. One of the other things that you guys tend to, like, really kind of focus on, it's kind of an ongoing thing, is Scherzes. So just give me the stats, the figures, the analysis. Jake, Jordan, how many Scherzes do you have in your collection at this point?
Ooh, well, so we counted at one point. But it's obviously an ongoing growth. I think Jake definitely has more than me. Now, we've been working on trying to get one from every team. Jake, as he mentioned earlier, is currently wearing his Rockies Nolan Arenado one. I think he has – how many do you think? Are we at – so you at 30 yet?
I'm at 30.
He's at 30. I have my list oh, yeah.
here in front of me. I have a whole team's worth. I'm just going to read some of – I have a Ryan Domit. We both have identical matching Ryan Domit Pirates – old Pirates aesthetic jerseys.
Yeah, the black with the red and yellow. It's Ryan Domit.
Matt Williams, Diamondbacks one.
Yeah,
that was hideous. I have a brown Jed Giorko. Mm-hmm. The UNESCO you got me for my birthday. Oh, the Russell Wilson minor league.
Yes, that's the, when Russell Wilson played baseball. One of my favorites is the Luke Cochaver.
Yeah, you have Luke Cochaver.
That's a good one.
Oh, I have a Will Myers.
So is the goal?
What do you say?
Sorry, I was going to say, the goal, though, in collecting these kind of jerseys, I mean, how much are you guys focused on the weirdest colors versus, like, say, the best names?
Oh, it's all about the – I think it's all about the player and the relative relationship that player has with the team.
Yeah.
Like, so my best one is my Lastings Millage Yalkut Swallows jersey. Right? Like a Lastings Millage Nets jersey is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, like, a random Japanese player Yalkut Swallows jersey is pretty cool.
Right.
But, like, the combination of the two –
right, because at that point, it's like once you got any Lastings Millage, like, you're in good shape. But then once you get the Japanese League, I mean, it's, you know,
you're
taking it to the next level.
Right. I had to go to Japan to get that.
And, like, for me, like, so, I mean, like I said, I'm a Mariners fan. Like, it'd be cool to have a Felix jersey, but I have Felix Everett Aqua Sox jersey. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, the minor league ones are always very special to us.
LJ Hoes. We both have LJ Hoes.
We both have LJ Hoes. But, like, the ones that are – like, guys that were on a team for a year, guys that were on a team for half a season. I mean, well, now Yoenis qualifies to have Red Sox jersey. But
my Dontrell Tigers jersey.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many just, like, it is about just the context of the player within that team. Because it's good to have. I mean,
but, we could buy a Joe Mauer Twins one.
Right, right.
But, like, so what? Like, I'd rather have a – like Mark Trumbo Angels one.
Right. Like, but I also, like, I'm a Mariners fan, and the two actual Mariners jerseys I have are Justin Smoke, who is now going to hit 50 home runs with the Blue Jays, and Brandon League. like those are the ones I have just because it's hilarious. Like, it's better than just having, I mean, you know, it's good to have, you know, some stars, but it's really about the context within that player where you look at it and you're like, oh man, like, that's ridiculous. Why does this exist? Like, that's really what we're going for.
Definitely an art form and one that I hope to get better at practicing in the coming year. You definitely want to stop over in West Michigan, you guys, if you get a chance, and watch the Whitecaps play. We were talking earlier about some of the crazy names you'll see in their farm system. So I'm sure there's a gold mine there in the Whitecaps store if you want to get some good jerseys here.
Yes.
We're talking with Jake Mintz and Jordan Schuster of Cespedes Family Barbecue here on the Bless You Boys podcast. Find us online at blessyouboys.com. Guys, we had to talk a little bit about some of the serious stuff. Let's start with Yoenis Cespedes himself. You guys have obviously been kind of, you know, keeping an eye on him over the last couple of years. What does he bring to the table for the Tigers in 2015?
So I think with Yoenis, like, it's a very – like, we reckon – obviously we're his biggest fans. But we recognize that it is a flawed skill set in that, like, yeah, his OBP was around 300 last year. And, like, we know we're not – I'm just going to ignore that. We know that there are flaws in this game. But what he brings and what we've noticed the first time he was traded is this kind of excitement, both athletically and, like, you know, on-field talent, that's just – it's not really matched. It, you know, there's something he could do every game, whether it's with his arm or, you know, with his bat, obviously, where it's like, oh, like, I could see something that's just totally unusual. And you might not see it all the time, but, like, knowing that it's possible is something that makes fans – like, irrationally excited about him, even us. I mean, we love him, and we always support him, and we do believe – it's not like we don't think he's a productive major league player, but, like, we know that there's flaws in his game, but it's just – he offers something that's just so unique and so much more than what any – that the average outfielder brings, and it just gets people excited. There's no – I mean, we were talking about this before, but, like, when he got traded, you know, from Oakland to Boston – you know, obviously the people in Boston were excited, and the people in Oakland were traumatized. But, like, you're getting John Lester. Like, John Lester's crazy good. You know, it's not – it wasn't like they just gave him away for nothing. We recognize, like, oh, that you'd think he'd be pretty excited about that. But there's just this kind of emotional, like, oh, he's so fun and just so interesting that any team losing him is just been – you know, it's tough. And it's tough. I mean, obviously tough for us when he's been all over the place. But we're pretty excited for him to be in the same lineup as two of the pretty much best hitters in the world. So
right. Jose Iglesias and
– yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Just something about –
and you
something
Pino
about
Suarez.
Something about
– he's
in Cincinnati. Right. Something about Hernan Perez that just – you're just so happy that they're on the same team together.
Sure. I'm in love with Hernan. So
Hernan.
Did you see that movie about the guy with Joker Tigers hitter? Hernan.
Oh. I almost want to just stop the show right there. That's it. This is a train wreck. Okay.
Sometimes Jake tweets something. I'm like, shut it down. We're just going to close the account.
Her non-locker.
Come on. Okay.
He's pushed.
All right. So to follow up on that, would you look at Cespedes and say that he is at some point due for a breakout season, or is this pretty much what you see is what you get kind of situation?
Well, I think last season he was hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think if you extrapolate what he did last season over a full year, I think that's what he's probably most likely to be around. His first season in the league was crazy high BABIP.
Yeah.
Pitchers hadn't really readjusted to him. That's kind of the high end of what he could be. Mm-hmm. Second year was kind of the flip side of that. That was the low end of what he could be. He kind of struggled. So I think last year extrapolated over a full season is around where his skill set's going to
be. Yeah, I mean, it's, again, it could fluctuate. It's not like he's not capable of doing what he did in year one again, but
that's
just not.
Feeling.
It's not the skill set. It's not. He's not going to suddenly take a bunch of pitches. Like, sorry, like that's not going to happen. But you know, you have Victor and Mickey to do that. But it's just, you know, he's not that type of player. It's different. But it doesn't mean like if he stays healthy, it's. I also think he's much more capable of stealing bases than people think, but that's really been largely on his health. But we'll see. I mean, I think if anything, it's a defensive upgrade in the outfield, and it'll be fun. It's just another bat in the lineup that guys can get excited for. Because like Torrey, like we were talking about before, like Torrey Hunter, like he was good, even in 2014, he's better in 2013. But you don't get excited to watch Torrey Hunter. It's like, you know, he's productive and you know, he's a veteran, you know, et cetera, but it's not the kind of thing. It's like, oh, like great. Torrey Hunter's up. Like you never really get excited for that. The way you do with Yoenis when maybe there's a lower chance of him doing something special, but
right. Also Yoenis is a much bigger fan within the gay community than Torrey Hunter.
Yeah, I would agree. I would definitely agree.
And we will steer that conversation right to the left here. And let's talk about his longevity in Detroit. Do you see him, you know, sticking around after this, after the contract expires, or is Cespedes long gone?
I think most likely he's gone because he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
and Detroit isn't really in a situation where they want to hand out more long-term contracts.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, I know Ilitch probably has billions of dollars that he's still kind of waiting to just be like, oh, right, I'm even richer than you already thought. Here you go. I need to win something before I die.
I'm so ill.
But who knows? Like, I think there's a really – I wouldn't count on him – I certainly wouldn't count on him resigning during the season.
No way.
You know, I think Detroit maybe they're going to want him. Who knows? I mean, we recognize that this could be a one-year deal. Like a one-year, you know, situation.
We're going to make it the best year we have.
Yeah, and I think the Tigers should, you know, Tigers fans should probably recognize that too. You're going to get emotionally attached. I'm sorry, you're going to. We're definitely hesitant. I think it's a good spot for him, and I think it's going to be fun seeing him with them. But we'll see. I think we're going to take it 1 year at a time.
Right.
That's all.
God willing,
that's probably a good.
Right.
But, I mean, like you said, you don't know. Ilitch has been known to spend big money, especially for big-name players or the stars. And, if you know, Cespedes turns out to be that kind of prima donna sort of diva, you know, you never know what kind of things could go down. I know Detroit was interested in him when he first broke into the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
They had said that. Dabrowski said he was interested in Cespedes, but he couldn't get to him because of the huge Prince Fielder contract.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be definitely interesting to see if they end up pursuing Cespedes beyond this season.
Right.
Go ahead.
I think it's important to point out that, like, I know it's easy to point to players and be like, oh, like, he just wants to get paid. He's a prima donna. Like, I mean, all these guys want to get paid. Like, if you look back to what Yoenis' first contract was, like, was it a lot? Yes, of course. Was it anywhere close to what, you know, all these other Cuban guys are getting? No. I mean, all these guys want to test free agency. It's just part of what, you know, it's what the game is. If you're lucky enough to play long enough to get to free agency, then you might as well take advantage of it. And I think it's, I mean, I get the sentiment of why wouldn't you want to stay with a team that has, et cetera. But I don't know. I'm quick to defend players that want to test free agency because you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime, literally once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And for a guy like him, I mean, who knows? It's really going to be largely dependent on how his season goes, about how much money he's going to get.
Right.
Which I think
so odd.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a weird spot. It's not as like, oh, like we know what he'll get next year, but it does depend. So we'll see what happens. But I definitely understand.
How does Cespedes sort of grade out for you guys in terms of his bat flip ability?
So it's less.
You were asking, yeah.
Yeah, it's it'll happen. And you will love it, but it is an area where Puig and some of the other Cubans
win.
Now, Yo is the owner of the greatest bat flip of all time after winning the 2013 Home Run Derby. If you haven't seen that GIF, I don't know why you're listening.
It's just like the physical manifestation of I've won.
Yeah, like I win and everybody else lost. So it's there, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that his swing has a two-man finish, and it's less susceptible to bat flipping the way that Puig's is. Because, you know, Puig's, we love Puig, obviously, but Puig's bat flipping on infield singles. Like, that's great.
It's because he's finishing with one hand.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to kind of, you know, it's a little different. What you'll see Yo do, which is also awesome, is kind of carry the bat a couple steps to first base.
Right, with both hands.
With both hands. That's arguably even more badass.
He hit a home run, I think it was his first year off of Brian Mattis. And Mattis threw him like a low curveball.
Mm-hmm.
And Yo fished it out.
Right.
And just kind of held it with two hands for like an extra amount of time.
Right.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's no beef.
Yeah. It's I think it's in him, but it's not something that you should expect to see on every you know, contact.
but the potential is there. That's the important thing.
Yes. Oh, of course. Okay. You have to understand how important dingers are to him. It's a large part of who he is. So he takes it very seriously.
As evidenced by the fact that he won that home run derby 2 years in a row, and we'll hopefully see him take a shot at, you know, a three-peat would be awesome. You know, in Detroit, we like our home run derby winners. You know, we had Prince Fielder did the 1 year. We just can't seem to get Cabrera out there to take a run at it. So it'll be nice to see Cespedes maybe represent the D in the I'm thinking, you know, that he'll have a lot better success in the home run derby as a Tiger than, say, Branthen Inge did in his this one out.
Yeah. Yeah. I would.
Anyway.
From what I know, he's going to do it again. And he will do it until he loses. Cincinnati's got a much better ballpark than he did in New York and Minnesota. So if he's healthy, he's gonna go for the three-peat, and he's probably going to win. So you can look forward to that. Now, last year, people doubted him. Oh, Stanton. Oh, Puig. These guys, they have way more power. Like, no. Like, they don't. They're not as – like, we knew, like, oh, maybe Puig does have more power, but he's not going to win. So there's something that – like, I know people don't take the Home Run Derby seriously. I know a lot of people don't care. That's fine. I don't blame these people. Oh, glorified batting practice, whatever. But, like
– no, we call those people communists.
Right. And there's something – but there's something to be said for, like – I mean, you know, there's a reason only so many people have won 2 years in a row. So – it's, you know, it's something that it is in a weird way a legitimate skill that Yoenis has that apparently it takes a certain amount of focus. And I'm routinely way more impressed than I think most people are with, you know, his ability to do that. So I would look forward to him being in it again if he's healthy.
I heard you guys refer to him as Yo several times. Is that the officially approved nickname?
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to call. I mean, you know, we've been saying Yo Knows forever. No disrespect to Bo Jackson, but, you know, Yo Knows as well. Yeah, it's easier to just call him Yo because we have enough people calling him Yonis and all these other pronunciations. We just call him Yo. It's easier for tweets. We're saving characters. It's easier for just talking about him. So, yeah, Yo's the way to go. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I want to get way out in front of kind of curbing the idea of calling him Cespy, because that would just drive me bonkers. I'm advocating for Yo-Yo Bomb.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I mean, we're any way people want to embrace him, we're happy. We're happy to support it.
All right. One more thing before we leave the topic of Cespedes, which on behalf of the Tigers fan base, welcome to Detroit, you guys. What are you most looking forward to in terms of following the Detroit Tigers a little more closely this year?
I think the thing with the Tigers, like, so I go to school in Ohio, so I'm hoping to get up to Detroit for a couple games. I'm only 3 hours away, and I think it'll be good to have him closer because in Oakland, you know, we always have him starting, all his games are starting later. And in Boston, like, it was good to have him in Boston. It was good to see him on, like, a national kind of stage, more so, like, oh, it's the Red Sox, even though they sucked, basically, as soon as they got him. But I think with Detroit, it's more of a balance. It's not too much pressure. It's definitely not nearly as much pressure as it was in Oakland or as it would be in Boston if he was still there, because you have Miggy and you have Victor, and that's a good core. And so with that, like, obviously we all look at Yoenis as the star no matter where he goes, but realistically I think it's a better spot for him to be around, you know, veterans that are already experienced, crazy, crazy good baseball players. And I think it's just going to be really cool to see him on a team with that kind of talent. You know, in Oakland, it was always like a really weird group of guys, and it was fun, but it wasn't as much like, oh, like, this could be a huge inning because you have, like, Brandon Moss coming up. Like, it would now it's more of like, oh, this could be, like, every time you see 3, 4, 5 in Detroit, it's like, oh, this is going to be, like, I have to watch this inning. And that's just something that I'm looking forward to, for sure.
All right. And what about you, Jake?
Hold on. Jake, come back.
Jake's watching soccer.
It's okay.
It happens. Yeah.
We can only keep him in one place for so many seconds.
My TV is broken.
Here. Well, Jake, sorry. I was trying to help out my father.
Oh, we were just talking about what you're looking forward to, you know, coming to Detroit as a fan now, as following Cespedes. You know, what are you looking forward to in terms of following the Tigers this year?
Well, I just want to make all the Eminem references I can. You know,
I'm not looking forward to that. But.
Not really. You know, Yo's just looking to clean out his closet this year. No, also all the Trick references we can make, possibly.
Dude, no one knows who Trick
is. No one knows who Trick is. I think the biggest thing for me is getting to watch a lot more of Miggy, because I'm an Orioles fan, and my number one priority is the Orioles and then Yo. But when Yo was on the Red Sox, I kind of watched less of Yo than I really should have, but watching Yo is going to make me watch more of Miggy, and he's the best hitter in baseball. So
even Victor, right. Like, I think Victor, as a Mariners fan, like, I remember the series in Seattle last year, and like against Felix, he was like the only one that looked remotely competent against Felix last year. And every time I was like, oh, well, here comes the, you know, knock to right. Like, and it's something, I mean, you have to watch enough baseball to appreciate like a basic single to right.
Right.
But
Victor
it
has the best.
Victor's
one.
Got like, you know, it's so smooth, and he makes it, like, so it's so cliche, but it's really like, oh, like, this is pretty easy for him. And, you know, against Felix, especially last year, that's really saying something.
Yeah. All right, we're talking with Jake Mintz and Jordan Schusterman of the Cespedes Family Barbecue. You find them online at CespedesFamilyBarbecue.com, and definitely follow them on Twitter at CespedesBBQ. Let's talk about Barry Bonds, guys. You guys write about him. Tweet about him. There's a constant stream of just bizarre statistical facts that you guys put out there about Bonds' career. First question I have is, did you guys actually get to watch him play?
I remember enough. One of my first baseball memories is his record-breaking home run in 2001. I think I remember enough of him to the point that I can remember that he was just so much better than everyone else. Like,
right.
I don't remember the intentional walks. Right,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, which in a weird way, I wish I did. Like, right. I wish I remembered 2004 as a season better and realized that he was getting intentionally walked 20 times in a month. Like, I wish, like, it's the little things that there's just, I mean, I don't know if people at the time were noticing that it was happening to that extent. But I think, well, the funny thing is when we look back at, I mean, obviously we were kids. It was Sosa. Sosa was the one for us that was so much it was like he was the one that I was always so attached to. But looking back on it now and you know, watching Bontas now and watching and remembering enough that it's like, wait, like, man, this was amazing. That anyway, and I mean, we talk to Giants fans now and it's just like they all Giants fans like, yeah, this was like pretty much, we were so fortunate to be there for this as it was going on.
Right.
And it's just really cool. No one talks about it, pretty much any other player like that.
So it sounds like your obsession with him, so to speak, maybe developed a little bit after the actual playing days. What kind of triggered that?
Well, I think it's just the realization that what he did was unlike anything anybody else has ever done in their career.
Yeah, and when you know, like, as we were learning about baseball and understanding the era that was basically ending as our formative baseball years were beginning, which whatever you want to call it, the steroid era, the just whatever, fine. But the era of extreme offense and just like 40 home runs, fine, great. Like what's that? Like that's not that great. And just guys hitting dingers left and right. And just the time where just it's insane run scoring environment, right? And then you just look back and you just see how much better he still was than everybody else. And it's jarring. It's not, I mean, you can look back at Babe Ruth numbers and it's ridiculous. It's hilarious. It's comical. But you know, you consider, oh well, that's you know, he was playing against people literally half his size.
Also,
et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there were
no black people.
No black people. There are no, you know, you have no minority players. You have no. I mean, the pitchers were probably throwing 80.
That wasn't really baseball.
It wasn't really baseball. But you look at, it's like for Bonds, it's like, well, like this just happened, and we know these guys are throwing. Yeah. At that point, guys are already throwing 95, but he still did it, and he still did it better than all of them, and it wasn't particularly close. And the fact that it just happened, that we can look at it, and in the same kind of comical sense, like, wow, like that's so ridiculous, and it's so funny, and it's so nuts, and I just wish. Fine, you think, oh, like, all right, yeah, well, I did that because of steroids. Really? Like, you think so? Because
Cervelli didn't do
like,
that.
Like, it's. I mean, sure, did they help? I'm sure they did. Do you think that that's what made him? He was already the greatest player, probably, of the generation. And, you know, he decided to put the other steroid users in their place and say, look, I'm better than you.
I'm the best cheater ever.
Sorry, I'm better than you, and I don't like that McGuire and Sosa are getting the attention. Sorry, I'm good. I am already better than you. So I'm just going to show you and have the four greatest seasons in the history of baseball.
Right.
And it's just, if you want to throw in the retroactive morality, even though no one really cared at that time, fine. If you want to say, all right, he was a cheater, fine. But, like, it's, I guess for us, it's sad and frustrating.
And
that
just
that you
meaningless.
Can't,
it
yeah, it's sad that you can't look at it and just be like, wow, that was awesome. Like, it's baseball, you know? Like
that should be the first reaction.
That should be the first reaction. Like, if you go watch Barry Bonds' home runs, you go watch the home run at Yankee Stadium, don't just think, oh, he cheated. Like, really? Like, come on.
He hit a ball there.
Like just appreciate it. Just love that it happened. I mean, it was a ridiculous era. It wasn't good for any of these guys. Of course, it was bad that they were all.
But it happened.
It happened. It's good that it's out of the game now. It's good that there's drug testing now. But it happened. And he happened to be the best by far. It wasn't really close. And let's just appreciate that for what it was. And it's easier also, like, it's just something that's so ridiculous. It's so much easier for us to love it than we can comprehend for people to hate it. I just don't understand. And I know, you know, eventually, 2007, baseball was like, sorry, can't handle you anymore. Like, you just put up a 480 OBP and you're 42, like, sorry.
So cannot compute.
We're out. You're gone. Get out of baseball. And, like, he probably could have kept doing it for a couple more years. Who knows what he'd be doing now if he was still allowed to play. But, yeah, so it's just something that, like, it's baseball. Don't act like this is the most sacred thing in the world, okay?
Ty Cobb beat up a
like,
man with no hands with his shoes.
Not only have there been horrible people in the past, most baseball players are complete dicks. Like that's another thing. That people, like, you just have to understand that. So don't be like, oh, well, he was an ass. Sorry.
He was just an ass publicly.
Like, and he said in interviews, and he said when he came back to coach with the Giants in spring training, and people asked him, like, do you have any regrets? He's like, you know, like, I regret, like, the way I treated you guys, the media. And he said, like, look, like, I needed to be like that to play.
For me to be in the mindset to be the best I could be. I needed to be like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's
but that's what it
like,
is.
That's what it was. And it's not just him. I mean, he gets the brunt of everything. It's not just him. You know, you can't just – he's not – of course, of course, it wouldn't be fun to cover him at those times. But he said it's not. These guys are going to have 162 games or more, you know, and have to deal with the media every day. It's not a fun thing to do. They don't owe the media anything, really. And the fact that he was like that, and he said, like, yeah, sorry, our relationship was shitty, but like, I needed that, and I'm a different person now. So, and now you see him. He's like, he seems to be the happiest person in the world. So, we just love seeing him. What he's doing now.
The two of you both would say that he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, easily. It's not really.
Not a question for us.
not a question. More of a statement. Yes, because I think we were just maybe talking on Twitter the other day about that, with the Hall of Fame vote going through and Bonds coming up in the discussion again. That, you know, it does seem a little strange to me that the same Baseball Writers Association who voted him MVP four straight years now turns around
and
says
before
that
10 years. Right. You were these same
right.
people were there.
They were there for this.
Yeah,
so.
You can't just turn around and be like, oh, no, that wasn't okay. Like, and if it was really that big of an issue, he wouldn't be on the ballot. Like, that's the other thing seems kind of obvious. So.
Yeah. All right. I think that's about all the time we've got for today. I wanted to thank Jake and Jordan from Cespedes Family Barbecue for joining us on the show. Guys, you do have merchandise available. Is that correct?
Sort of. It's lazy merchandise.
Yeah, it's kind of a work in progress, our merch that's available. But when we get it all back up and running, you will know. And we'll hopefully have some Tigers colors gear available
pink
soon.
And puce.
we'll see. But hopefully we can get some more shirts and hats up soon.
Definitely. Yes. Give us some Tigers colors and we'll raid the supermarket store online there.
right.
Jake, Jordan, thanks so much for joining us. That's Jake Mintz and Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue. Hope to have you back on the show before the season's out.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you. All right, and that's just about all the time we've got here for this episode of the Bless You Boys podcast. Again, you can find Jake and Jordan at Cespedes Family Barbecue online at CespedesFamilyBarbecue.com and follow them on Twitter at CespedesBBQ. Don't forget to tune in at this same time next week. We'll have a little chat with Dan Dickerson. That should be an extremely fun show. Always good to catch up with Dan. And until then, this is Hookslide signing off. Stay out of trouble, guys, and if you can't, at least invite me to come along. We'll see you next time on the Bless You Boys podcast.
Get him out of the old ballpark.